Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship service from Daleville Christian Church. Today begins the season of Advent, a season of preparation for Christmas in the churches. As I usually say, the Christmas reports are so monumental and important as we read of them in the Bible that it takes the whole month of December, beginning with the first Sunday in Advent, to talk about what the Bible says about Jesus' birth. When you understand the import of this event, Emmanuel, God with us, then you will know why the faithful believers feel compelled to celebrate Jesus' birth. We have an affirmation of our faith we share each time. This one from Romans, the letter to the Romans in the first chapter. We believe the gospel God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And we also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. God's word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the first chapter, verses 8 through 20. And here we are reading about the report of Zechariah's service in the temple one day in the city of Jerusalem. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." May the Lord add his blessing to this, his holy word. You should know by now that I take seriously the reality of history, and I take seriously the words of the Bible. Therefore, I am committed to draw all of us away from romanticized interpretations and romanticized images that many insist are in the Bible, when the Bible is silent on such affectations. For example, we romanticize the birth of Jesus. We sing, "The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. That is not in the Bible. Why don't we have songs that mention the odor of being in the presence of farm animals in an unheated space after dark when it's colder in order to deliver a child? A not always easy medical procedure fraught with danger for mother and child. Why don't we depict the manger as more like an emergency room of a hospital? It was on the front page of the local news this last week, and I quote for you, "For every woman who dies in childbirth, there are dozens of women who almost die." That is a statistic from the 21st century in America. Imagine giving birth in the ancient world. My descriptions of the birth of Jesus are not in the Bible either, but they are closer to reality than a baby who doesn't cry. We also romanticize angels. Angels and their message are today's first Sunday in Advent's topic. We depict angels as always beautiful or lovely. One of the first descriptions of an angel is in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Forgive me if I do not want to be in the arms of that angel. In one of the next descriptions of an angel, the angel holds a weapon, a sword. I didn't look up every angel appearance that we read of in the Bible, but most of the ones I recall, people who see angels are frightened. Even the priest Zechariah in today's reading is inside the temple of the living God. And Luke tells us Zechariah was startled by the angel's appearance. But Zechariah wasn't just startled. Luke states, verse 12, on seeing the angel, Zechariah was startled and fear fell on him. Zechariah is not comforted or soothed by an angel's appearance, even in the temple of the living God in Jerusalem. Zechariah is scared out of his wits. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, the prophet and priest, Isaiah, reports that he saw the seraphim in the temple of the living God. Tradition states that they are the highest order of angel, and Isaiah's book says, chapter 6, verse 4, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. How can you romanticize that? I don't think you can turn that into Disney World's fireworks, can you? In your Bibles, the Word of God comes directly to people by way of an angel, which literally means messenger. An angel of God is a messenger of God. And I'll repeat it. In your Bibles, the Word of God comes directly to people by way of an angel, the word for messenger. Angels are the delivery beings. Angels are the UPS men and women of God's heavenly court when God's word absolutely, positively has to be there. Angels show up front and center. And the angels confront mere mortals like you and I with God's divine plans. Hear that. Angels confront mere mortals like you and I with God's divine plans. And what a plan it is. A plan to save humanity from its path of self-destruction. It's the fulfillment of God's plan revealed long ago. A plan of redemption, a plan of salvation, and what a plan it is, a plan to save people like you and me. We are powerless to save ourselves. As a matter of fact, we got ourselves into this sinful mess. We can't get out. So our loving Lord God came up with a plan. Continuing on in today's reading with Zechariah, as a result of this encounter with a messenger of the living God Almighty, Zechariah is struck deaf and speechless, perhaps also deaf since sign language appears the only way to communicate. I've always wondered why it seemed necessary to punish Zechariah with the loss of speech and maybe hearing. We are not told why, and people like me still wonder about it. The best possibility that occurred to me was that Zechariah's words, in response to God's message, Zechariah spoke words of doubt. And I'm going to come back to that. Angels are spiritual beings. They live in the spiritual world, which we mere mortals, although we also have spirits, we may be shown the spiritual realm on occasion, or we are allowed to see the spiritual realm in a vision, or be shown something of the spiritual realm. Angels are spiritual beings. Humans are embodied spirits. In God's word for today, this angel, this messenger, this spiritual being from God tells Zechariah, "I am Gabriel." Gabriel's name means God is my strength. And Gabriel states, "Your prayer has been heard." Zechariah, as a priest, at the hour of prayer, when this encounter took place, as shown by the smoke in the temple and the people praying outside, Zechariah had been praying and making the offering on behalf of Israel's people. That was his job as the priest there, burning the incense. The prayers and the incense offering are for the purpose of continuing to make God's people holy or set aside as God's own people. The angel states that the prayer is heard. For the answer to the prayer is one and the same. The answer to Zechariah's prayer and the answer to the people's prayer is the same answer. A child is to be born. Verse 16, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Verse 17, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In addition, he will be a joy and a delight to you, Zechariah. Many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And verse 17, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. This statement looks to several prophecies in the Old Testament. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." Before we go too far, Gabriel does not answer Zechariah's question. Gabriel objected to Zechariah's question. Zechariah's question isn't just about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Based on their ages, Zechariah asks, "How can I be sure of any of this stuff you just said, Gabriel?" Zechariah questioned a messenger of God, "How can I be sure of any of this stuff you just said?" And I would just have us notice that if Gabriel had spoken to Zechariah outside the temple, the prayer being answered is the one about having children in old age. But since Gabriel spoke to Zechariah inside the temple, all the prayers are being answered. The prayer for a child and a prayer for God's people. And the answer to the prayer, both of those prayers or all of those prayers, is the same. A child is to be born. And Zechariah is raising questions about everything that Gabriel said about Israel. There are several ways we might reframe Gabriel's response. Gabriel might have said things that ancient peoples already knew. It isn't Zechariah's place to ask messengers of God questions about the message. Do you ask your UPS man why a certain package was delivered to you? Do you ask your mailman what's in the package before you open it? What are they going to say to you? Look, man, this has your name on it. Are you going to sign for it or not? Look, lady, this has your name on it. You going to sign for it or not? That's what Gabriel was saying. Look, buddy, I just came from God himself. God himself told me to deliver to you this message. God didn't mention I'd have to answer any of your questions or have to explain anything to you. God simply said, go and declare the word of the Lord to Zechariah, my priest. He's in the temple right now. Tell him what I have pronounced will take place. I, Gabriel, have done as I was instructed, and I don't have to prove anything to you, Zechariah, priest or no priest. Are you like me and have ever wondered why Zechariah was struck mute and probably deaf as well? Professor Raymond Brown stated that since sign language is all the priests had to communicate, that Zechariah must also have been made deaf. I come to the conclusion, based on what Zechariah said, Zechariah had some doubts about how everything could possibly take place, not just the part about he and Elizabeth having a baby. Zechariah had some doubts about how everything could possibly take place, including and beginning with Zechariah and Elizabeth having a baby. So if Zechariah could leave the temple hearing and speaking, would Zechariah spread his doubts? Would he tell people what Gabriel said and then add, but Gabriel didn't tell me how this would all happen? I asked him, he didn't tell me. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But Gabriel tells Mary, Jesus' mother, and Mary is single, living at home. Gabriel gave Mary's news of a baby. Mary simply stated, let it be. Let it happen. And Gabriel added in verse 37, no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. And yet Zechariah doubted this plan that God had revealed. Was Zechariah doubting the one who would prepare the way of the Lord? Was Zechariah doubting the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah? Now, maybe I can be a little more positive and less critical of Zechariah. Pastor David Jeremiah stated it this way in his book. God is faithful to his word and will bring it about. Bringing about something more wonderful, Zechariah, than you can imagine taking place. Something more wonderful than you can imagine. But rest assured, Zechariah, and everyone else, no word from God will ever fail. In Luke's gospel, the angel, the messenger of God, is the key that unlocks our Christmas celebrations. The messenger demonstrated God's desire and intention to communicate with us. The messenger of God was proof and still is proof of the power of God's will within God's word. So let it be written, so let it be done. The messenger of God is proof that what was spoken shall come to pass. The messenger of God is proof that what was spoken is coming and now is. God making good on God's promises. the messenger said to Mary, Jesus' mother, no word from God will ever fail. Amen.